Thank you so much for having this time again to be with you guys. It's indeed my second time to be here. So I would like to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Chris and Pastor Kerry for giving me this time to be a vessel of God, an instrument of God to deliver God's message to all of you during this time of pandemic, still pandemic, you know. But those who are at home, it's okay. Enjoy the time. Enjoy this time with the Lord. Enjoy this time to worship Him, to be with Him. And this time is a great opportunity for all of us to know that God is present. God is in our midst. I remember today, it's November 1, and it's 54 days before Christmas. Such a nice feeling, you know, guys. It's such a beautiful feeling. But sometimes I ask right now, Lord, what is Christmas during this pandemic? During this time of pandemic, what will the Christmas season be like? You know, in my country, in the Philippines, whenever there's Christmas, man, everything is a festive experience. It's very festive. You know, it starts in September. On September 1, that's the start of the Christmas season. Displays everywhere, Christmas. You could feel the Christmas everywhere. But when I heard the news of pandemic, some of the decorations still has to wait for a while because we are giving help. We are helping people to cope up with this pandemic. But, you know, I would like those who are at home, I ask you, what will Christmas season be like during this pandemic for you? Another thing, whenever Christmas is approaching and people have the tendency to finally have this feeling of giving Christmas gifts, gift giving, you know, caroling, sort of those stuff when Christmas arrives. Sometimes we ask, yeah, Lord, this is indeed a pandemic, a season of pandemic. Lord, I ask, I'm hoping that this pandemic will stop soon, will no longer be there. Well, I hope that vaccine will be available the time before Christmas. So I ask everyone here, what are you hoping for this pandemic? I mean, during this pandemic, let me ask you this. If someone offers you a $100 bill, would you take it? Yeah. Those at home, would you take it?
Yeah.
What if the one who will give you the $100 bill stepped on it, kicked it, and even spit on it? Would you still take it?
Yes.
Oh man, I love these people here. So you will still go to the store and spend it?
Yes.
Fine? Yeah, the answer is yes. No. The bill that you will receive from that person has value because of what it is, not because of how it looks, where it has been, or what it has been used for. A crisp, clean $100 bill is worth the same amount as an ugly, old, abused one. Friends, you may feel like you have been stepped on, beat up, or kick around. You may feel dirty, unworthy, or useless. But God wants you to be encouraged right now. God wants you to know that you are valuable to Him. God looks not what happened to the $100 bill, but the value that this $100 bill has. That is how God looks at every one of us. So sisters and brothers, I want you to know that this series on everything's gonna be okay, He wants you to know that put your hope in Him. In times of uncertainties, we are looking for hope. During this time of this pandemic, we are searching, we are looking, we are praying for hope in our lives to come in. And we find hope in God through this story of Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 14. It's a beautiful story, but it's a thrilling story because it's a story of the valley of the dry bones. When you say valley of the dry bones, these are bones that are dried up. Everything is gone. No hope. They are hopeless. In verse 11, it says, "The people of Israel said, 'Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We have been completely destroyed. So speak to them for me,' God said to Ezekiel." It's such a beautiful story because it's a story that God put Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, into a place where there were lots of bones. If I see the story, it's like it's the first scene in Terminator. You know, the robot walking on the beach and then all of a sudden, there are a lot of bones. So I think they got the idea from Ezekiel. But that's really a story that, you know, it's thrilling because I get goosebumps whenever I read this story. When Ezekiel was put into a place where a lot of dry bones, I realized this is how God really would like to do. He likes you to, He will place you in an uncomfortable situation. There are things in life that we feel uncomfortable with, a lot of things, or we feel comfortable. At work, I feel already comfortable with the people, in the environment. But sometimes there are things happening in life that all of a sudden, there's an uncomfortable feeling. You know, I was comfortable with life when my parents wanted me to just finish nursing, just take nursing, because everything is ready when after you graduate from nursing, you already go to the States, to the US, and you have a job automatic there because most of the Filipinos are nursing. But there, I was so comfortable with that. But the uncomfortable happened when God wanted me, called me to be a pastor. I don't want that. I don't want to be a pastor. Never in my life that I want to be a pastor. My dad's a pastor. My mom is a choir director. I saw their life. I saw how they lived, you know, in the Philippines when we have a pastor. The salary of the pastor comes from the offering. The house of the pastor is inside the church. So every time you wake up, you see the cross. Oh, it's stressful. There's the cross again when you wake up. But kidding aside, the pastoral ministry is something that God called me to do. I wasn't expecting that. I really don't want to be like that. But you cannot resist. You cannot turn away, turn yourself back from God. If He calls you, He will really put you in an uncomfortable situation. But that uncomfortable situation, God transforms that. God transforms that into a blessing for your life. Friends, this dry bones, this story, the Israelites were hopeless. They were hopeless. It's not necessarily it means that they are really dry bones, but they are hopeless. Every time we see the story in the Bible, the story of Israel is a story that there is hope. God is giving hope to them, but they feel it's hopeless. But we could see here in this story how God is telling them the good news. People, everything's going to be okay. Just put your hope in me. Just put your hope in God. Three things I learned from this story, this thrilling story of Ezekiel. First one, God sees me. In verse 1 and 2 of Ezekiel 37, it says, God grabbed me. God's Spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. He led me around, and among them, a lot of bones. These were bones all over, or there were bones all over the plain, dry bones, bleached by the sun. If you could just close your eyes and imagine that you are placed in this situation, a valley of dry bones, such a very good image of God telling us that this place that you are on, that you're on it, is a place where people are experiencing hopelessness in life. But when I say God sees me, it's an opportunity that God is telling us right now, telling you that God initiates a relationship. Imagine that, my dear friends. How a wonderful God is that He takes you to a place, but He won't leave you. He's there with Ezekiel. He's there because God wants to initiate a relationship with you. It's like some of the biblical scholars said that this story of the dry bones, it's a remake of human beings. If you remember in Genesis 2, how God created us in His image. We came from dust. But here in this story, it's about bones, dry and lifeless bones. It's a remake of God's creation of human beings. How? These dry bones have nothing, are helpless, they are dry, bleached by the sun. But here, in that story, God would like to take the opportunity to be intimate with you. We know that this pandemic has brought us a lot of experiences, wonderful things that happened when we were experiencing a community quarantine because some areas here in Medan was locked down or you were not able to have to go around or do some things. It was a time for you to stay at home. And you know, for a person like me who always wants to go out, it's uncomfortable and I'm not used to it, just staying at home. But you know, God put that into my heart, that this pandemic, this thing that's happening right now to each of us, is a way that God is telling us, I want to be intimate with you. I want to initiate this relationship with you. Even though we're not able to have that time. Because, you know, before the pandemic, we have a lot of reasons to say, Lord, I have no time for you. I am busy with work. You know, I have to study. I have to wake up early to go to work. So, sort of like that. But this pandemic, when it came, it's for me, it was a gift. A gift for me to spend more time with God. And one of the byproducts of this pandemic in my family, we became more intimate with God by praying together. Sion, Lyle, and me. God gave us the opportunity to pray as a family. So God initiates a relationship. He wants to get intimate with you. So in this story, when Ezekiel was brought there, it was a time that God wants to have this intimate relationship with you. The second thing that I learned from this story is God commands me to speak life. In verse 7 and 8 and verse 10, two things came up. It says, I prophesied just as I'd been commanded. As I prophesied, there was a sound, oh, rustling. The bones moved and came together, bone to bone. I kept watching. Sinews form and then muscles on the bones, then skin stretched over them, but they had no breath in them. In verse 10, it says, so I prophesied just as he commanded me. The breath entered them and they came alive. They stood up on their feet, a huge army. Here in these three verses, it's so wonderful when you see that, how God told Ezekiel to speak life, to prophesy to these bones that they may live again. Prophesying is speaking out, telling, preaching, proclaiming. What is God telling? You know, Ezekiel, before he was a priest, before he became a prophet. He was a priest. He knows the rituals in the temple. He does a lot of that. But being a prophet is a challenging role because you have to stand and be a messenger of God to the people. So here, Ezekiel was asked to speak life. And when Ezekiel spoke about the bones will, you know, they will connect together, they have the tendons, they have the muscles, and then the skin will eventually will come. But there was no life. But God told Ezekiel, speak again, tell them the breath will enter. Life breath, as mentioned the other Sunday, life breath is so essential. It's a very important thing in our life. Breath, the life breath that God offers to us to have life. It's a way of how God initiates, for me, it's a way also of how God initiates a relationship. Because really, when you wake up, that's the first thing that you will notice. The gift of God, the gift of life that God gives you when you wake up in the morning. Even though you have a lot of things, concerns, problems, but when you wake up, if you try to think, the life breath that God gives me, it's something to be thankful. We need to be thankful to Him. This life breath, for me, is in a way, how should I say that, animates. It's an animate thing. What I mean animate, it means to give spirit and support, to encourage. It's a way that life breath is so encouraging that even in the time of this pandemic, we can still breathe. We breathe life that God gives us. But when we say speak life, it doesn't mean breath, go in. Breath, go to this person. God was saying to Ezekiel, if you speak, it means your words have power. Words are powerful. Think about this, my dear friends, even at home. Think about this. I tell you, you are capable to make or break a person. Your tongue is so powerful, even if it's just there in your mouth, but it can pierce a heart or it can bless a person. Just like what James said to his community, he said in James chapter 3, verse 7, this is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you cannot tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongue, we curse the very men and women He made in His image. Curses and blessings out of the same tongue. He was warning the community, be careful, really. Because your tongue can speak curses and blessings. You can make a person blessing this person, but you also have the capacity to curse a person. You know, driving here. Sorry, Lord. I'm also have a shortcoming with that. Driving, you could say, but still practicing how to bless people while driving. But thank you, Lord, for reminding us in James 3, verse 7. But at the same time, my dear friends, Paul also has a way of telling the Thessalonians, Christians, about what you should do in time of speak life, when you speak life. Paul was saying to the Thessalonian churches, to the Thessalonian church, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, so speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll be together in this. No one left out, no one left behind. I know you're already doing this. Just keep on doing it. Gosh, my friends, IC Medan is a place where I have experienced the welcoming of God in this community. I'm planning that before I finish my study in Master of Divinity, I'm planning to use or to do a research or thesis paper on hospitable churches, hospitality church. And I'm thinking now, or I'm considering IC Medan to be one of my subjects for this thesis, because the welcoming is a very powerful tool that God is using us to make a difference in this community. Imagine everyone is welcome here. Whatever age you have, what status in community do you have, financial or whatever, married or not married, you are welcome here. You have the opportunity that God gives you. Because here, if I'm a sinner, but God welcomes me. God welcomes me back in this place. It's one of those experiences that I had encountered in life when I turned myself back from God. It was God's welcoming spirit that taught me, son, I want to take this opportunity to grab you, to seize you. God wants to seize that moment in your life, because God wants you to know that such an experience will tell you that He is present. He is truly here in our midst. Christmas is a nice image of how God wants to see or to tell us that He is there, that He is present in our midst. Emmanuel, God with us. He's no longer there at the high place, but it is God who came down to us to be with us, to join us, to feel us, to embrace us. The third thing that I learned, the final thing that I learned from this story is God wants me to testify for Him. Ezekiel 37, verse 13 and 14, it says, "My people, I will open your graves and bring you up out of your graves. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you and you will come to life again. Then I will lead you back to your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You will know that I said this and that I made it happen." Hallelujah, Lord. Your words are really powerful, God. Because when the Israelites receive the breath, the life breath, God promised them that I will bring you back to your land. And when you go back to your land, I want you to tell people what I have done. As a church, we are to testify, to give testimony that in God there is hope in the midst of uncertainties. Cling on that. Believe me, my dear sisters and brothers, there is hope in God. Cling on that. Hold on to that. Because we ourselves should not forget, or we ourselves should remember God's acts of grace to each of us. We know where we came from. I'm sure you don't forget things. Remember where you came from and how God transformed your life. How God, when you ask Him, "Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life, to be my Savior," you see how God transformed your life because He loves you. And those are the things that we want to testify, to give witness to people, how God transformed me, how I felt God's love and grace in my life. We are to testify. And that testimony is a powerful tool for us to realize that God wants you to know the love, and you don't have to put that God's love in a box and keep it. He wants you to tell people how you experience that love. In conclusion, my dear friends, I want to ask even those at home, do you want God to seize you, embrace you? For me, that is the right term for me, embrace. You see a God who's no longer there up watching us from below, but here's a God whom I've experienced, who wants to tell you, son, daughter, I'd like to embrace you. Do you want God to embrace you? Will you allow God to use you so that you can speak life to others? Are you ready to be God's instrument to give testimony of hope to others? You know, in psychology, there are things whenever a group of people come together with a common issue, like the AA, Alcohol Anonymous, or other, for those drug people influenced by drugs, prohibited drugs, they come together and they have this session together to, you know, tell them what they have experienced. I encourage you, the life group that we have here in IC Milan is an opportunity also for us to come together. We have a common thing with each other because we want to grow in Christ. But it is also an opportunity for you, for each one, that we encourage one another. It's an opportunity to know and understand that God wants to embrace you because of this community that we have, the life group, or this of or our church, IC Medan. God wants you to be a vessel that you will openly give witness or testify of God's hope in your life, what God has done in your life, and you want it to share with others. My friends, I will end this by telling this. Let us remember that Christ gave himself for us to reach out to us so that we may know that God is love. He's reaching out to you. He gave his life because he wants to reach out to you, to be with us so that we may know that God is among us, and to comfort us so that we may know that God gives us hope. Everything's gonna be okay, my friends. Put your hope in God. Let me pray for all of you. Dear Heavenly Father, today, O Lord, we ask you, Father, we ask for your embrace. We want you, Lord, in our life. Take hold of us, O Lord. We surrender to you, Lord. I'm a sinner. I surrender my life to you, Father. I want you to take hold of my life. I give it everything to you. I surrender them to you, Lord. Use me now, Lord, in the midst of this pandemic. Use me, Lord. Use my life to be a testimony for others. Bless each one of us, dear Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen.